a blessing to us, and we love y'all in the Lord. Now let's open our Bibles together to Luke chapter number 3. Luke chapter number 3. They even know how to play bluegrass in Ohio, amen. It's been some good singing. I appreciate y'all. What a blessing. Luke chapter number 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Luke chapter number 3, and we'll begin in verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and of the region of Trachonius, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Preacher, Dr. David Peacock, please pray and ask the Lord to bless the message.
Father, it has been good. It's been wonderful to see these men come through and allowing us as a church the privilege of investing something that you've given to us in their lives.
Amen.
God, we thank you for the people that have invested so much money and time and effort into this meeting. Lord, now we come to this part of the meeting that we're asking for you to give us something, as it's been said all week. We need something. And ask God that you might fill Brother David now with the Holy Spirit, give him unction from on high. Allow him, God, to be able to preach that'll minister to us wherever we need and whatever we need. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Here in Luke chapter number 3, we see after 400 years, God begins to speak. 400 years of silence between Malachi and the book of Matthew. 400 years before a vision had come from God. Now, up until this time, there had been people that might have said what others had seen, but now somebody has seen something for their own. You know, a lot of folks regurgitate what they've heard, but they never hear anything from God. And now we're at a place here where John the Baptist has got a word from God. He is the last prophet. And here we have, after 400 years, God stepping on the scene. And you see from verses 1 and 2, all those big names, hard to pronounce. We see these big shots there in 1 and 2. And here's this guy, he's a leader over here, and he's the king over here, and he's the high priest over here, and I over there. Where does God's word come? It comes to John. It doesn't come to the big shots. It comes to the little shots. It comes to John the Baptist here, the Word of God come. He's very unique. I notice a few things about John in Luke chapter 1. His solitude. He is out there alone with God. We also see his simplicity. He got his everything he got, he just got from God. He lived off the land. See, I want to be like John the Baptist. Yeah, but I don't want to eat the locust. Amen. And I don't want to wear those kind of clothes like that. Amen. His simplicity. But his seeing, he saw something. He didn't just see what everybody else saw. He saw something that God gave him. He had a vision from God. God begins to do something with this man, John. Now, he's not the Messiah. He's the forerunner. Now, wouldn't that be a pretty good thing for people to mistake you for Jesus? Wow. So I wonder why the Lord said John's, you know, the greatest man born of women, you know. Well, maybe because they mistook him for Christ. What a compliment. Amen. They come and say, "Hey, you're the Messiah." "No, I'm not the Messiah." "No, I'm sent before the Messiah. My job is to prepare the way. To do a job. I have a job to do," he says, "to prepare the way for the king." Now you'll notice in the text as you come down in verse number 3 where John lives. He lives out in the wilderness. And he comes out on the edge of that wilderness and he begins to preach there right on the edge of the wilderness. And he had been in solitude for a while and God had been doing some things for him out in the wilderness. He had to have that wilderness time, that wilderness experience before he was able to preach to anybody. God had him out in that wilderness to teach him some things about people and teach him some things about himself. And he begins to preach. And I want you to notice verse number 4. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. John, what are you doing? Are you starting the First Baptist Church? If you wonder about that, we got some yes, we need another class here. Yeah. John, what are you doing? Are you the Messiah? Are you a self-proclaimed prophet? John, what are you doing? He says, hey, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not Elijah. I'm not none of this. I am just preparing the way for the Lord.
Amen.
Now, our kind of preaching around this group is just a blessing. I love to be around you guys. We're on the same page. We got some preachers in here, and the meeting has... We're on the same page. We're not in here saying, okay, do this, 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 and then the glory falls. We're not here with a list of rules and regulations. We're not here trying to say, okay, you got to meet these standards and all this, that, and the other. We understand if God's going to do something in your life, He wants to do it from the inside out, not the outside in.
That's right.
Prisoners obey the rules. Hey, Mormons live clean lives. Jehovah's Witness do a lot of things that Baptists never do that are right. So we must understand that it's got to come from the inside out. You say, well, what's my job? Your job's a lot like John, because you know what? A lot like John, your life is a wilderness. It's not habitable. There's problems out in the wilderness. It's a rough country. It's chaos. It's barren. Nothing grows out in the wilderness. Doesn't grow good. He says, John, I want you to preach. I want you to prepare the way. John says, yes, Lord. And people say, why do you want John to do this? Because God's going to do it. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one that does the work. But John's got to prepare the way. Amen. Somebody's got to get the tiller out. Amen.
Amen.
Whoever came up with this idea to put ethanol in gas ought to be shot.
Amen.
Comes time to plow up your ground, you go out there and pull, 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 pull. Preacher one time, he was walking through the neighborhood walking around on a Saturday afternoon. He saw this little boy. He had some stuff out by the road and had this big sign, you know, yard sale. And he goes over there and he sees this boy and he's got a lawnmower there and he says, hey, you want to sell that lawnmower? He says, yes, sir, preacher. He knew he was the preacher down at the church. He goes, yes, sir, I'll sell that mower to you. He goes, it runs fine, no problems at all. Preacher, he says, how much? $10. Okay. He gives him the $10. He buys a lawnmower. He's gone. Well, later on that afternoon, the boy gets on his bike, and he's riding around town. He rides by the preacher's house, and he looks out there, and he sees that preacher pulling on that thing, just a pulling. Preacher looks up and sees that boy and says, hey, boy, come here. You told me this thing ran. What's the matter with this thing? I've been pulling and pulling and pulling. This lawnmower's not running. He says, preacher, that lawnmower's a little different than other lawnmowers. You got to cuss at it before it'll crank. I said, look, I'm a preacher. He said, I ain't said a cuss word in 30 years. I don't even remember how to cuss. Yeah, right. He says, you keep pulling that rope, you'll remember how to cuss. But you know, you got to get out there and get those tillers running. You got to get that equipment running so you can get out there and prepare the ground. And the ground's got to get prepared before anything else can be done. You say, preacher, is it my job to do this in my Christian life and do that? No, the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit,
right.
Not the fruit
that's
of you.
Yes.
Our job is like John's, to get in that wilderness messed up life that you have and to prepare the ground so God can do something. And in the end, we're not anybody. We're just like John. You say, what are you? I'm just a voice.
Right.
What are you? I'm just a man behind a tiller. Preparing the ground. Folks, we need to prepare the way for the Lord. And don't come up and start talking doctrine about this. I'm preaching a practical message.
Amen. Amen.
Now, let's look in verses 4 and 5. You say, preacher, I want to prepare the way for God in my life. John says, first of all, you know what you got to do? You got to straighten up. Verse number 4, he says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." The Bible says in the prophecy there, the crooked would be made straight. There's some things in the wilderness of our life that's so messed up and so crooked, it needs to straighten out.
Amen.
It's just like this. Just all over here. It's all over there and it's all over there. Straight. Simple. Straight. Plain. Make the crooked places straight. Hebrews chapter number 12. Lift up the hands that hang down, the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. You need to straighten up. Crooked. Always a little deceit. Lying. Well, you know, I had to drop my daughter off and I can't make it. No, you just slept late.
Amen.
Be truthful with your boss.
Amen.
Quit lying all the time.
Amen.
Straight. Just go straight. One guy kept telling a preacher, "I'm going to straighten up one day, preacher. I'm going to straighten up." And he kept preaching to him. Never would come to church. One day he did come to church and he was straight. Only bad thing is he was straight in the casket. Crooked places need to be made straight. You know, when something's going like this and going like this and going like this and weaving around, it's hard for anybody behind you to follow you.
Amen, amen.
Because you're all over the map. You just need to go straight. I forget who it was that said this. One preacher made a very profound statement. The Bible simply says, if you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, live right.
Amen.
Just go straight. Let's see what God can do if we just go straight. Amen. That would be a good political statement too.
Amen.
Let's just go straight. Don't be pushing me off on that. When things begin to get crooked, you know what it does? It wastes a lot of time. You're going way over here, and then you're going way over here, and you're going way over there, and you could have been over there from point A to point B, and you've wasted so much time.
Amen.
By not being straight. I don't know about you. I used to get car sick. Brother Wheeler, my friend, my good friend, my best friend, he had to take me on some sightseeing in North Carolina. We'd go up and go on top of the tall mountain over there, and I'd have forgot to inform him I get very seasick, car sick, whatever you call it. Brother, I'm with you. It just makes you sick. Just in and out, and stopping and going around this. It will make you sick to be crooked. If you're saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit will wear you out on the inside. It will eat at you that you're crooked. You're not straight. You're not honest. You're not truthful. It will make you sick. John says, you need to go straight. Quit being so crooked and deceptive. And you know, it's dangerous. You get around those curves and you're going so fast and you're just swerving in and out and you're not going straight. It's a dangerous way to be. It gets you into trouble, being crooked. John says, I'm here to prepare the way. Straighten up, verse number 4. Notice verse number 5. He says, every valley shall be filled and every mountain hill shall be brought low. Second thing we need to do is fill up.
Amen.
Fill up. The valleys. You say, well, preacher, you know, sometimes you got to go through the valleys. But you know, a lot of the valleys are self-inflicted. A lot of the valleys are actually ruts. And some of them are pretty deep. You hit those potholes, the next thing you know, your front end's out of line. Next thing you know, you got a flat tire. He says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The valleys, the empty places in your life. If the valley's going to be straight, if the path's going to be straight for the Lord to do something, then you can't have all these valleys in it where all this time is wasted going down and up and down and up. We call that the roller coaster effect.
That's right.
You know, back in the day of the iron horse, when they would bring these trains through, they would come across a valley or come across a place. What they would do, instead of sending that train all the way down, so it'd have to go all the way up, they would build a bridge across that thing.
That's right.
So here's this train coming. It just keeps going straight. And just goes right over that rut. Rut turns to rot.
Amen.
Rot turns to ruin.
Amen. Amen.
That's rot.
Yeah. Amen.
Good.
You want revival, you're going to have to fill in some of those ruts.
Amen.
That's right.
Well, that's just how I've always done it. That's just how I'm always used to it. Our natural tendency is just to revert back to what we're always used to. The old man is still with you. And if you're not careful, you'll just revert back to how you responded, to how you reacted before you were ever saved. You'll revert back to giving in to the flesh instead of yielding to the Spirit of God. Hey, we need to get to a place where we're willing to fill in those ruts in our life and say, hey, I done gone down enough. I done been down those ruts and got used to it too much. I am despondent with my Christian life. I'm not going good with this. I'm going to fill it in so God can do something with me. We need to be willing to fill in those ruts. We need to be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled up. John says, hey, I'm preparing the way for the Lord. I want to fill in. I want to fill up. You say, what do you fill up with? This is a good thing to fill up on right here. Hey, what you're doing here this week, coming out and making an effort to come to church to get filled up on something. Get filled up on the Bible. Get filled up in preaching. Get filled up in some time with God. Get filled up with what God wants you to get filled up with. Notice verse 5. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The high places. We've got to straighten up. We've got to fill up. But we're going to have to bring down some things. See, we want God to do something. We've got to move. I'm studying some things about God, and you know, I have a theology degree, so I know about God. No, I'm like Paul. I want to know Him, that I may know Him. Yes. Another place he says, you know, I know whom I've believed, right? 2 Timothy, I know who I believe, but then he says that I may know Him. You think you got God figured out? You ain't got nothing figured out.
Amen.
I'm trying to learn some things about God, and some of the things I'm learning about God, one of them is God is not going to change.
Amen.
Which is a great consolation when you really begin to study it. But here's the thing, God's not going to move.
Amen.
We're going to have to be the ones to move.
Amen.
He's there. He's holy.
Amen.
If we're going to get over there, some things we're going to have to do so God can do His part. It's the fruit of the Spirit, like I said. It's the work of God, like I said. But we've got to be willing to prepare the ground.
Amen.
To prepare the way.
Amen.
Straighten up. Fill up. What does he say? Let's bring down the high places. The high places in our life. The places that are exalted. Back in the day, the pagans, what they would do is find high ground. To exalt themselves, you know the Tower of Babel, they call it. The tower where they all got together and they said, we're going to build a one world tower, so to speak. What it's called now. We're going to build a tower to reach to heaven. We're going to be somebody. And they would worship their false gods by these towers, by these high places. Paul says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that takes over the preeminency of Jesus Christ is a high place.
Amen. Amen.
Now, down in the south, blood's thicker than water. Preacher, their family.
Mm-hmm. Come on,
care if they are family. If they're.
Come on.
See,
come on,
what happens is when somebody that you know we know or their family and they're involved in something, then the sin doesn't seem as great as it really is. We don't seem to see it like God sees it anymore. What happens is we go ahead and we just compromise because we know the person. I don't care if you know the person or not. God's not going to change. His opinion about sin has not changed. The Bible sure hasn't changed. And we need to conform to God, not try to bend God and conform God to us. We compromise our convictions. Instead of bringing down the high place. For their family. Well, is Jesus more important?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, everybody else is doing it. Jesus isn't doing it.
Amen.
We need to bring down the high places. Those places that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. They're so high that we can't see the glory and the magnificence of Jesus Christ anymore. You get in those big cities, and I haven't been to them very much, but when you get in the big cities, you walk downtown, and those shadows, they cast such a shadow, I mean, you can't even see the daylight. And then whenever the nighttime comes, there's so much light pollution from the city, you can't even see the stars. No wonder the verse, the heavens declare the glory of God, don't mean much to people anymore. You can't see Him anymore. Everything's higher than Him. The church has even become higher than Him. Bring down the high places. John's job, it was not an easy job. John's job, it wasn't a job where he got glory. It wasn't something where everybody just wanted to exalt John. It was not an easy thing. It was a very humiliating thing because he says in one place, I've got to decrease so he can increase. I've got not only to bring down these high places, but I have to be brought down.
Amen.
One brother was preaching, I forget who it was. We are nothing. And when we think everybody's looking, they're really not looking at it. Everything does not revolve around. We have become our own suns and we got all these supposed solar systems going around us. It's not that way.
Amen.
We've got to bring down the high places. The place where we worship false gods. You can't worship God with high places in your life. Saul was that way. He had all these high places in his life. It was the people. It was what he wanted to do. Samuel comes up and he's got all those sheep and everything that he spared. You know the story, 1 Samuel 15. And he's like, I've performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel's like, what's the bleating of the sheep that I hear? What's that stuff back there? I've attended prayer meeting. What's that high place you got over there? You act like you're all holy, but that high place is so high, God says, all I see is the high place in your life. We're going to have to bring down some high places. So, John, what's your job? My job is just to make some preparation. My job is to get my heart. My son, give me thine heart, he says. My job is just to prepare for what God can do. And I really believe God loves us, amen? We're under the umbrella of God's love. He cares about us if we're willing to make some preparations.
Amen.
I believe the Lord's willing to do something with us.
Amen.
Finally, I want you to notice a couple things here. It says in verse 5, every valley shall be filled, every mountain hill brought low. The crooked shall be made straight. The rough ways shall be made smooth. Now, if he's preparing out a highway for that big, nice chariot of the Lord, like the preacher has described in some of his great messages, that chariot coming down, or even that little donkey when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, if he's preparing that way for Jesus to walk on it, it's another message. Then he wants it smooth where he can walk on it. Sometimes we've got to bring down some stuff. But sometimes we've got to smooth out some stuff.
Amen, amen.
Some areas in our life, they're good. But they might not be the perfect, the acceptable will of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we're here. King James Bible believers. Got our doctrine all straightened out. Know when to say amen. Like to hear good preaching. We like to go so far. But then those rough spots. No, you had to take that sandpaper out. And a lot of times you got to start with that real hard grit. That stuff, you rub that thing across and you rub it and you rub it and It just tears. Got to smooth some things out.
Amen.
Amen.
God wants to have a pathway in our life where He has complete freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord, I got this path all straight now. He goes, yeah. What about that path? Where's that road going?
Right. That's right.
Where does that place go over there? The secret places of your heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
Is that prepared? Or do we just have the outside part prepared that everybody sees? Some things in our life, maybe tonight, I've heard some great messages. Really have. Been encouraged. Been rebuked. I mean, we've really heard some good stuff. Maybe there's some areas in our life the Lord wants us to smooth out. In other words, you think about that sanding process and the work that takes place with that stuff, it's not a fast thing like taking a big tower and just tearing it down.
Amen. Amen.
Recently, we did some construction in our church. We're working on some remodeling, and we have this old exterior block wall that thick. And we got to get in, and they let me get in there. They were worried I was going to kill myself. But they let me get in there with a sledgehammer. We got to bring down that thing. That was fun. Man, it was just a blast to be able to take that thing and just swing it hard as you can and just knock block all over the place. And it, you know, it felt good, like he was really big, you know. You hit a couple of them and 3 or 4 of them would fall, you know. And you just get to tear it. It really didn't take a whole lot of time. By 3 o'clock, we were done with this whole wall. You know what took a lot of time? Taking it out. That ground wasn't smooth after we tore that wall down. It took some time to get those wheelbarrows and those buckets, and those hands, and those masks, because we couldn't breathe. Carry all that stuff, piece by piece.
Amen.
Sometimes it takes some time to pick up those rocks and get them out of the way, and smooth out. And the path, the road is long. Oh, I've been saved for 30 years. Yeah, you started smoothing it out way over there, but you quit.
Amen.
And it's still rough. And maybe the reason you're getting some of those messages and God's ringing your bell and doing some things is because it's still rough.
Amen.
It's time to begin to smooth some things out so God can do something. He says, I'm coming to make the rough ways smooth. It's humility to recognize there's some time involved. You're doing good, but you're rough around the edges. There's some places maybe in there, those paths where maybe the Lord doesn't have a easy of access. Maybe he comes to a roadblock because that place just isn't prepared yet. He's not going to go any further until that place is prepared. And finally, I want you to know this last part of this passage, verse number 6. Look at it. This is when it's done right. In all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Once we prepare the way, once John did what he did, the Lord showed up. The Lord showed up and he went through the baptism and all the things and that thing began to change. Once we do what we're supposed to do and we're faithful with what God tells us to do, all flesh. You know, the best way to be a testimony for Jesus Christ is for it to come from the inside out.
Amen.
When you witness to a person, really because God has laid it on your heart, you have a burden to see that person saved.
Mm-hmm.
When God begins to overflow from inside, all flesh will see the salvation of God if we're willing to simply prepare the way. Are you willing tonight, when you look at your life as the preacher comes tonight, are you willing to say, God, I want the way to be prepared for you. I want you to have full reign in my life.